So the title of the talk is What Happens to Our Trust When Things Seem to Go to Pieces? And we are in difficult times. We just had an election, and I don't know if we're happy or not happy, but many people are not happy about it. But it's not just in Israel. There is change happening on that level. We have viruses running around the world, getting everyone into panic. We have climate change getting everyone into panic. The things seem to go to pieces. And if you want my view, personal, the bad news is, yes, things are going to pieces. But the good news is that we don't have to go to pieces. That we have many, many potentials, powers, capacities to work with the conditions that are arising that are not in our control. And in the Dharma, we do really need to make a choice. And the choice is, when things get difficult, we go towards fear, misery, despair, helplessness, struggle, feeling down, feeling worried, or we go to a place of trust, a place of action, a place of steadiness, a place of confidence and standing in our place. So how do we do that? And the Dharma is about tools. The Dharma is really about the 10,000 discourses of the Buddha. We're really practical. What tools do we need to meet the uncontrollable life and dance with the uncontrollable life and death? What tools? That's really the whole Dharma. It's not about ontological conclusions about reality, but much more about what powers and tools and capacities we can develop to meet what is with wisdom and steadiness and engagement. So the first tool I want to mention is trust. And trust is about trusting things to be the way they are. And that's really challenging, because we all think, well, I can't trust things to be the way, if it's all going to pieces, how can I trust? How can I trust life? It seems to be against me. The virus is out there. How can I trust the viruses? How can I... But I think we have to understand trust as a power in us, an inner power, instead of fear, instead of resistance, and instead of trying to control reality. Trust is not about saying, nothing for me to do, I have to accept, because you're limited, Yadayim, nothing for me to do. I just stay at home, turn on the television, feel despaired. Trust is an attitude with which we go out and make change in the world. Because if we don't have trust, we can't heal the world. We're always in struggle and resistance. It's just like, how do we give nutrition? Supposing we're trying to feed ourselves or our children or others, supposing we're trying to heal ourselves, we do it with trust? We're with ourselves? We're with what's needed? Or we're against it? Trust is a power. with which we do go out and make change, but with an awareness of the way things are, then we go out and make change, rather than struggling against and not accepting and not wanting to control things. So trust is something that we learn. And I mean, I personally think we actually can trust the planet. It may not be very pleasant. Humans and animals may well suffer, yes. But can we trust the planet to do what it's needing to do? Maybe the planet is doing what it knows to do. So that, don't take it as a truth from me. I'm just asking a question. That maybe we can have more trust, even in difficult times, that things arising because that's the response of the big picture. That's what's happening. That's even the virus. Noticed how the environment benefits from people stopping, staying at home and not flying planes all over the world. But trust, for example, is one of those qualities which we can learn here on the cushion. We trust what's happening. It's what Ron just mentioned earlier, is the basis of equanimity. We trust things to be the way they are. We're interested in things to be with the way they are, rather than censorship, saying not this and yes this and not this and I want that and that's better and this is not better. This is the way things are. That needs trust. From there we begin. And it's close to refuge. And when things go to pieces, we do respond. We do need to go out in the world. It's not about the Buddhist practice is not about being a kind of a vegetable sitting on the kursa, the couch, and feeling miserable. From the time of the Buddha, it's about going out. Because if we don't have, who is going to do it? Building the tools, yes. But not shutting ourselves in. It's about going out and acting and doing and not being given into despair. It's being a big heart. Even if our actions seem very small, as Mother Teresa said, we can only do small things, but we can do them with a big heart. And another of the movements, the capacities that we'll be interested in that will help us to see to how to relate to things when they go to pieces is compassion. And again, I can't talk about these things fully now, but compassion, I can say it very simply, is the being with difficulty, pain and suffering, but having a big view, staying with the big picture, rather than the subjective view of me, the sufferer. It's the big embrace, it's like being the mother, the big mother, the great mother, rather than the little me saying, oh, it's all going to pieces. That's the difference. So compassion is listening to the pain of the world, but being big enough, having a heart that's big enough that will hold it, rather than being locked in the me. And it really helps us. It's being touched. But not destroyed. But what I want to talk about more now is equanimity, which is the subject of this retreat. And equanimity is growing an inner steadiness, yitzivut. It's about knowing that we're easily disturbed because we're sensitive and vulnerable as human beings. So we feel everything, whatever it is, the cry of tanim outside, or our own cries, or our friends, or our family, or what we read in newspapers, we feel all of that. So we are disturbed. But at the same time, instead of being knocked over by difficulty, we stand in our place. Whenever we feel too disturbed, it's like we are lost. We go out of, it's like girush. We are in exile. Whenever we stand in our place, we come back home. There is our protection. Never mind if things are difficult. So that set, that difference is equanimity. One of the ways we can look at equanimity is being at home in our life, never mind what happens. That we can never actually leave our home because we're in it. Actually, I wrote a poem some time back, I just remember, about this, when the poem was about the fact that we often don't know we're at home because we're looking out of it. We don't notice we're in it because we're always looking out. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's the problem? Reading newspaper, television, listening, crazy. But out there, we forgot, actually, we're looking out of the window and we forgot that we're at home. So the last words of the Buddha, not exactly the last words, but close to the last words of the Buddha, were, be an island to yourself. And I think this is such a beautiful message. It points the way. An island is an image of autonomy, autonomia. It's a metaphor, image, dimui. It's a metaphor of being an island in the stormy seas. And that's the way he used it. It's just an image that the island is standing in the stormy seas. And it's about not being swept away. One of the places that he talked about not being swept away, is not being swept away by what everybody else says. Consensus or conformity or, again, what we hear everybody saying. But to stay in our truth. To stay in our reality. What do we see? So when the Buddha was explaining what he meant by being an island to yourself, he used the word apamada. Apamada is very close to the word sati, meaning mindfulness, but apamada is mindfulness with care. I think it's maybe mindfulness is erud and apamada is eronut, something like that. And it's a sense of being there, being attentive, being connected with the truth that we experience and we see, rather than getting swept away by what we hear, by what we worry about, by what should happen, by what we want to control, etc., etc. It's resting in our truth. And we become an island. that the stormy seas of society, whatever, can't overwhelm us. Here is a place that instead of defense, Haganatiyut, it's our protection, is to stay in our truth. It's a protection inside. It's instead of a defensiveness or shirion, armor, or a wall outside against life. It's, I'm in the middle of life, but I'm standing on my ground, I'm like an island. How do I do that? By being very aware of the truth of my experience that now, rather than thoughts about it, opinions, views, worries, concerns, etc. What do I see? I'm alive. We just did it. It's basis. If we really feel totally I'm alive, that's the basis of equanimity. I'm alive, I'm here, I can really rely on and feel at home in my life. Well, that's a big thing, but it needs us to see that we're at home, to see it, and to really feel it. So this is not just a kind of a thought. Equanimity, it needs practice, it needs meditation. And it needs attention, shall we say. So it's a little bit, you can go out and talk about it to people who are not practicing, but for it to really happen to us, we do need to do some practice. And last May, I went on a tour around the States and went to many, many groups and many people and 18 different spots I had in 25 days, which is crazy, and talking to the public. And it was not easy to, about equanimity, because that's what everybody wanted to know. The people wanted really to hear about what to do in situation of climate change and so on. People wanted to hear. So I was expressing equanimity, but it's not so easy to describe it to people who don't practice. It needs a bit of practice, equanimity. But it doesn't need to be enlightenment. A bit of sense of coming home to our inner truth is already working. It doesn't need us to be 100 retreats. Refuge is one of the places too that are important. A refuge, mechaseh. To actually feel, again, our truth is not just on a superficial level, on shidchi. Our truth goes deeper, 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 deeper. If we feel that we're actually more of an island, because we feel our real nature is much bigger than we realize. So if we look inside, we begin to experience us as bigger beings than we thought. The home that we feel, it keeps getting bigger. Becomes a palace. Actually, it does. Equanimity is one of the Brahma Viharas, and the definition of Brahma Viharas is palaces in heaven. So our home turns into a palace in heaven, if we really experience it as it is. It's not just a little dirak tanaba afula. It's actually a palace in heaven. So refuge helps us in this. M- Meditation, our practice, will keep showing us our inner truth, will keep showing us that we are at home and that we cannot be anywhere else. And it will keep showing us that this home is spacious, has space in it. We may feel that this home is absolutely full of junk. Mamash pachashba, malem. But if we look carefully, we'll begin to see, yes, there's a lot of junk, but it's actually, there's a lot of space as well. The fact that we can see the junk, we can begin to start cleaning it a little bit, sorting it a little bit, dropping stuff a little bit. All the pachashba is becoming from here. We leave it here in the hall when we go out. This hall is a real rubbish bin of stuff we throw out invisibly. But as we have more space, a way of understanding equanimity is if there's more space inside, we are less disturbable. Because you can't disturb space. So if we're less reactive and less responding and less defending and less controlling, we'll find ourselves less disturbed by life, by whatever happens. And that's about this quiet sense of awareness, of spaciousness, looking in our home and seeing that there is more space there than we realized. It's more open, it's more free. What we did just now in the meditation, I was specifically guiding towards this direction. The aliveness in us. Maybe our back is hurting because we're sitting for 45 minutes. But there's an aliveness that is, the back is telling us something. And if we can sense the aliveness in us, we're already in a more spacious place. Not just busy, busy, busy with what my back is saying or what my mind is saying. The space in the heart. Compassion. And in this retreat, let's give ourselves plenty of space. Space to listen to voices that we want to hear inside ourselves, voices that we want to hear from the trees and the grass and the sky. Listen to the voices with a spacious, open awareness. Listen to life. And that's very simple. It's just less me, more the world, or the open space. And if we train ourselves to be more open and spacious, we will be less disturbed by things that happen. Because what disturbs us is me having to respond, react, and defend against difficult experiences. It's not that we try and stop difficult experiences. Equanimity is not about stopping pain or difficulty. We do see that things do disturb us because we are sensitive, open human beings or animals. So we can see that we are disturbed. We can know our vulnerability, our pigiut. It's not instead of that. But we can choose how much importance to give it and how much it controls us, our vulnerability, the disturbances we meet in life. How much power do we give them? We feel them, because they will disturb us. Pain, we don't have a wall Pain will come in, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, social, friends, our life story, there's so much, vulnerability, planet, viruses, you name it. But we can allow the vulnerability, but there is enough space, there is enough inner sense of being at home, there's enough apamada, seeing it with care, that it doesn't destroy us. And slowly, slowly, our practice, we will be less disturbable. We will feel the vulnerability, but it will not knock us down. A disturbing thought right here. Maybe there'll be really difference between now, the beginning of a retreat, and how much this disturbing thought controls us at the end of the retreat. Maybe our practice will show us the same thought now and the same thought in 3 days' time after apamada. Now it seems like a big mushroom in the mind, kind of dark cloud in the mind. But given space and attention, apamada, we can see that's what's happening. That's the truth. I'm ready. I'm at home seeing a cloud coming and going. And I'm here steady. That's the movement. And if we can do it with a difficult thought, disturbing thought, we can do it with anything. So we don't shut down the world. Meditation and practice and Dharma is not about what they call it in the computer, firewall that stops toxic websites. They come in. We can't stop them because we're open. But they're like winds. They're like a breeze. They come and go. They touch our heart and move on. And as long as we practice apamada, being at home, open, spacious, knowing and being free with what arises, it turns into wind. So equanimity is quite a high level of practice. It goes quite high. It's the last of the seven factors of awakening. It's the fourth of the Brahma Viharas. It's the last of the ten paramis, which are all kind of Buddhist lists of development and qualities and powers. So it's quite high, but I think you will understand it's also at the beginning. We can also, just this talk maybe reminds us that we do have it already. So it's, we don't have to wait until we've, like I said, close to enlightenment and then. So it the highness of equanimity is the spaciousness. So if we can imagine what it's like to practice and practice and practice and becoming more and more and more and more spacious, then you can imagine how that can bring us to awakening. Because we will become like the sky. Spaciousness will just go on and on and on until we become the sky. And then, like the sky, cannot be disturbed. So you can feel how equanimity will go all the way there. But it's also at the beginning. And so what we have to do here, the next few days together, apamada, being aware of our truth with attention and care. It's a little bit more heartful than just mindfulness. Mindfulness can tend to be a bit of technical attention, but apamada is a little bit more caring attention. Okay, slight difference in texture. Practice deeply letting things go all the time. The disturbing thought, yes, shalom, hello, I see you, but goodbye. Practice letting things go, because that's the way we experience spaciousness. Practice and remember that we can never leave our home. We are at home with it. We are at home all the time. And keep remembering that. We're at home with the trees, we're at home with the sky above. We're at home with the love and the care right now in this retreat. So that's basically what I want to say, and we'll learn more about equanimity day by day, and we'll practice in this direction day by day. Thank you. So we'll just take one moment, quiet.